All right, so one of the most embarrassing things that could happen to any human being, and certainly any oversized radio host, just happened to me.
Oh, did you pull a Nell and poop yourself on air?
No. No, I did not do that. Nice try, though, man. Did that really happen?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, he doesn't have his headphones on, so
right.
He didn't hear what I asked.
What happened?
I asked
we were just talking about good vintage memories of stuff that you created. So what happened was, I wore a fleece, like quarter zip, into the station today because it was cold this morning, right? And I just have a t-shirt on. So I took the fleece off like a half an hour ago because it's hot as hell in here and I'm drinking hot coffee. Well, somehow the fleece kind of like got off the back of the chair and ultimately kind of onto like the ass seating area of the chair. And so I sat down and it was uncomfortable. So I, instead of just getting back up,
Lord,
like a normal human being, I tried to like drag it out from underneath my ass.
And you slid yourself off the chair.
And I slid myself off the chair and collapsed and went down like
Timber!
A ton of freaking bricks. Like Humpty Dumpty, man.
I mean, I've never seen a more...
And you tried desperately to get a picture of me in a compromising position.
I did.
And I didn't let you. I was quick off the snap.
You jumped up so fast. What, you were doing burpees in the gym?
Oh, I was like Johnny Newton off the snap, baby.
Man, that was embarrassing, Chris.
That was pretty embarrassing.
Good gracious. You're so lucky I was concerned about your well-being because of your age.
Oh, yeah. You were really concerned about my well-being.
No, I was initially. You had this look on your face. I thought you may have split the back of your head open.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you were really
concerned. I was really concerned, but then I saw
But
that.
Then you decided to laugh and try and take a picture.
Well, right. As soon as you're smiling, that's when we knew that it was fine and it's okay to make fun of.
Right. Anyway, I'm glad none of you got the satisfaction.
Yeah, Matt, you always got your damn camera out at all the wrong times.
What I just went through. None
that
of you.
Damn
I'll tell you audibly.
Matt, you should wear that on
I'll
the,
tell
on,
you
on
audibly,
chin.
But you never will get a picture or video, I don't think, I hope, of unless there's secret cameras in here that I don't know about.
I mean, maybe y'all got Grimace. Yeah, y'all probably done planted Grimace with cameras inside of it.
Perhaps.
You warts.
Maybe we did. Where is old Grimace? Right here, buddy. Right here, just for you. The Mets need Grimace to, like,
yeah, your
I
Mets
don't know,
stink. They look
stop
like they,
striking
they look,
out.
They're in a different, they look like they're playing a different sport than LA.
I mean, one game. Relax. Actually,
I mean, one game. It ain't no one damn game. Your offense goes cold routinely.
All right, they're down 2-1.
It's over with.
Okay. All right, whatever.
You so all lucky right. I couldn't get your ass on the ground. I couldn't. Ooh. Matt, I blame you. Because I missed my moment. You have so many compromising photos of me.
How many compromising photos do you think I have?
Lord, please.
I mean.
Just help us, Lord.
Really? Anyway, let's move on.
I can't
so, before we get back to the calls. Ultimately, again, we've kind of discussed some of the miscommunication that Joe Witt highlighted during his own press conference. He didn't say specifically any names, but I mean, if you're smart enough and if you watch the game and if you watched it closely and if you know how communication works in the NFL, he's at least partially, if not mostly, pointing the blame, I think, at Bobby Wagner. I can't imagine. Now, again, the one caveat is I don't know if he's talking about it. It was received by Bobby Wagner, and the next person that it needed to be communicated to, it wasn't communicated to. So I will allow for that. But the way Joe Witt said it, because he wouldn't give specifics, leads me to believe with my own eyes, what I saw, what I know, what I've heard, you know, what have you, that it may have been Bobby Wagner related. That being said, you, I think, gave a good answer, a good, you know, a good explanation, manipulating the eyes, all that stuff. There's one other thing that Joe Witt said today that I wanted to play for you right now. We'll get your reaction, and then we'll get you guys in on the Hornet. And where this defense goes from here is really unknown because, again, they're not playing a so-called weak offensive opponent for at least 2 weeks, and that's if you consider the Giants weak with Malik Nabers and Devin Singletary back in the lineup.
No.
Now, they're not going to have Andrew Thomas. He's out for the year, but that's if you consider the Giants weak. I don't consider Carolina necessarily weak. I'm not saying they're a juggernaut, and I certainly don't consider the Bears being weak. So the next 2 weeks, for sure, we know they've got pretty good tests. Here's Joe Witt, in addition to what he already said about miscommunication and communication, which I thought was pretty enlightening, Joe Witt also on I think David Harrison of Locked On Commanders asked this question, and Joe Witt said it was actually a good question.
I think at times we have, and at times we haven't. From a crack replace standpoint, sometimes I believe that, you know, we've been a little bit late at times, but sometimes also we've gotten upfield too much. And so it's been, you know, I want to say popcorn where, all right, the end might get upfield too much and now it's a crease, or we've shut it down with the end really well and we've gotten cracked with the backer and now we got to have support from the outside. So we have to, you know, take that popcorn away and just play solid.
You got to take that popcorn away, baby. The question was basically that David asked was from the back seven, are guys in the back seven, linebackers and defensive backs, sometimes almost recklessly approaching the line of scrimmage and therefore getting out of gaps or missing things or what have you? And again, what the part you didn't hear was Joe Witt saying, you know, that's a good question. And then he went on to that answer. So I ask you, as a guy who screams about gap responsibility and gap discipline and this is the number one problem and this is all that there is, what do you make of what Joe Witt just basically said, which is sometimes we're attacking the line of scrimmage with guys not on the defensive line, which is what everybody kind of starts with, guys in the back seven, and we're missing our mark, we're missing our gaps, we're missing our assignments, we're missing our where we're supposed to be.
I mean, that's what it is. I like the way he put it. It's like popcorn effect. Like there's something new every run that pops. It's not like it's the same problem. I would disagree a little bit and say that I think a lot of it has to do with, and the Giants executed it to a T. The Giants double-teamed the hell out of the interior and moved to the next level. And that is, like, that to me is the hardest part, is when those linebackers who are improved at the position, right? Mm-hmm. They've upgraded that position, but, like, it's hard when guys are getting displaced and you're literally, there's times where Durant, and you've watched the tape over.
In that game, there was the first time that I remember seeing it. Maybe I just didn't pay attention to it. Where Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen were literally getting mollywopped.
Getting walked back into the linebackers.
By four offensive linemen and getting so pushed north. You know, Dan Quinn always talks about pointing to the north or whatever the hell he says. They were getting just shoved back by multiple double teams, right?
And that's what the Giants did,
and that, like, to Baldy's point, but that's what I'm saying. In that Giants game, that's where the first time I remember seeing it so clearly. Baldy was pointing out that because they have somewhat lighter guys that are designed to shoot gaps and penetrate and blow things up and whatever, because they don't have that 335-pound war daddy, you know. My gosh, like what Philadelphia has when Jordan Davis decides he wants to play.
I mean,
they don't have that,
Baltimore.
Right?
Baltimore's got Travis Jones.
Said,
they got four different guys because you got to be able to rotate them.
But they don't
bigger.
Have those guys. So when Daron and John are getting double teamed and getting totally pushed back,
singled. John's supposed to be one of those guys. Daron is not. This is the thing. John is looked at as the better run defender between him and Daron, correct? He is the bigger, girthier guy that I expect to eat more double teams. Because in size, he is markedly bigger.
Yeah, I think so. But I the way I always looked at it was John was always the more consistent pass rusher than Daron, who was the more explosive, dynamic player. Period.
I don't agree with that. I mean, John's 6'3", 300 pounds.
Yeah. But what
Daron,
is Daron?
Daron Payne's 320.
Right, so he's listed bigger.
I didn't even realize that.
Right.
But we've seen them next to each other. Daron's the smaller guy. I ain't close. John is way bigger than him.
I don't know. I mean, I don't usually eye up, like, things that way.
I'm talking about from the ass down.
Yeah, but I'm not.
He's girthier.
But,
he's got.
I don't know. Maybe I'm missing it.
That's what the hell you're looking at. Okay. You're looking at who's going to have.
Yeah, I mean, they're
looking
at
interior
everything.
Defensive
right.
lineman. I'm looking at base.
Right, right.
Who's going to have the stronger
right.
base?
But they
Who
don't have.
I'm putting on your guy. I'm putting on the rate that they're getting double teamed at, Chris.
Who's my guy?
Daryl Tapp.
Oh.
They got to either they're not teaching the technique proper or the guys aren't running it. And if they're not doing what the hell the coaches are saying, it's one of those things where come sit next to me. That to me, and I would love to be in on these pressers because I want to ask Joe Witt, how do you feel like your interior linemen are handling double teams? Because it is killing the integrity of the entire defense. Dudes are getting washed 4 and 5 yards downfield, Chris. You know how unacceptable that is? But you David, had a big-ass 6'2", 240-pound back.
All right, so David asked a different question, but he didn't ask that exact question.
I need that question to be asked.
Okay.
Because they're getting displaced in the run game entirely too much.
Listen, I watched last night. It was just during the Mets game just because they were getting crushed. I was angry. Not angry. I was just disappointed. I was watching again, more of the game from Sunday, right? I just wanted to see different things that I don't see live. And you talked yesterday, and I know you've talked about it before, about Fedarian Mathis, okay, being a guy that can anchor and set and really kind of hold up the gap and all these different football terms that you like to use.
That's not to say he does it every damn snap, or else he'd be starting.
And I was going to say, there was one drive in the third quarter, and I made note of it on Twitter. Just one drive. He got to do better than that because he was getting pushed around, and on one he got double teamed, and he got pushed back 5 yards, and on one he got run past, and one he kind of fell down. He got to do better than that. So they've got to find somebody, whether it's going against their preferred scheme or whether it's just somebody that has some girth that can anchor down, that's 330, 335 pounds, that isn't just a blob, that can still move. They've got to find somebody that can actually do that and set. We talk about setting the edge on the outside all the time, right? And you always have me looking for that. I'll give you credit. You always have me. Oh, wait, did they set the edge on the Lamar Jackson run? Set the edge here? Did they set the edge here? They need somebody to set the point of attack, the interior, the edge, if you will, on them in the middle. And they, I don't know if they have that. I don't know if that's Daron Payne. I don't see it. It's not always Jonathan Allen. I don't see it. I don't know if it's Fedarian Mathis all the time. I don't know. Maybe some of the time it will be.
This is the tough part why I always continue to say you got to earn the right to rush the passer. In this defense, what I would be preaching if I'm Joe Whitman, on first and second down, yeah, we want to get a pass rush, but like you have to be mindful of stalemating. Like you can't give up ground. The key, and Baldy said it, everyone's first thing that you teach as a defensive coordinator principle-wise, philosophy-wise, is stop the run first. And our guys are shooting gaps, but they're shooting gaps, and maybe I'm just sounding like an idiot. They're shooting gaps and not being cognizant of the run at all, meaning getting too far upfield. If you're a defensive tackle and you're able to get 2 yards, 3 yards upfield without being touched, hey, they're probably running trap. Right. Hey, they're probably running counter.
Right.
Hey,
it's almost like if you're an edge guy and you're getting into the quarterback way too early, right. It's almost like, hello, they're setting up a screen to go over you. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you just pointed a finger of blame just a couple of minutes ago at Daryl Tapp, my guy.
I covered him for one year
and we stayed in touch.
I'm just looking at what I think is the biggest problem with the run defense in particular.
But how much is that of that is on Joe Witt and Dan Quinn too? Because A, they're the head coach and the defensive coordinator more than Daryl Tapp. How much of that is on the players? How much of that is on Quinn and Witt? Because they, again, struggled with some of the problems in Dallas.
I don't remember them running a whole bunch of double team drills, beating the double team drills in camp. But I watched the D-line. I mean, it's hard not to watch them. You hear him from Rockville.
Right. But just because somebody's loud and enthusiastic doesn't mean that, you know, he's going to get the point across to them.
I don't know if he is.
Are we chewing the woods here? Are we chewing the nitty-gritty?
They should have traded. You know who it was? John Ridgeway being dealt. It looks like a complete farce. Keeping Fowler over KJ Henry looks like a complete farce to me.
I mean, Fowler at least played. I thought it was very noticeable.
Play on first and second down. You can run right. He's 215 pounds.
I understand that, but guys have roles, right? So it's not necessarily that problem.
If you can't stop
the run. It's losing Dorrance Armstrong late in the first quarter or early in the second quarter. And Dante Fowler having to play that. And Jamin Davis not being able to be active. Why? Because they can't trust him to set the edge.
They got Dante Fowler listed as 260. He's not. That's not a true 260.
Right. But. So this team ultimately is probably constructed wrong. And for somebody who goes around running around preaching we're at the mercy of the evaluator, maybe we've over-evaluated how Adam Peters and Dan Quinn evaluated the roster and what they didn't bring in. Maybe that's the problem. You know, maybe they need somebody large and beefy with some feet and some athleticism, whether it be on the edge or whether it be on the interior.
It's on the interior. Baldy hit it on the head, man. He called it a guy that's going to sit in there and eat the double cheeseburgers. They need a girthy guy. You know who they need to call? They need to call
Roto-Rooter. Oh, sorry.
I mean, call Terrence Knighton up. They need a Terrence Knighton in the middle of this defense.
Yeah, I don't know if big old Terrence Knighton is available at this point.
I'm trying to just like think and look around.
I know what you're talking about, like a big beef eater.
Just, like at 1-5, yeah. Right? I would be making a call about Maurice Hurst down in Cleveland. I'd be making a call about Dalvin Thomas and Shelby Harris, mm-hmm. guys like that. You need. But those aren't the biggest interior guys right. either. I think they need a space either.
I mean, they need somebody, again, that's like, you're too young for this. Ted Washington, you remember him at all?
Okay.
Ted Washington was a 3-4 nose tackle who was just a badass for the Buffalo Bills, New England Patriots. Belichick had him for a little while. Ted Washington could line up square on the nose and just engulf people and engulf gaps.
Yeah.
Either side of the A-gap. Hell, he'd control the A gap and the B gap at the same damn time. That's what they need. Somebody who's not the first primary thing is getting up the field and shooting gaps. The first primary thing is tying people up and filling gaps, not shooting gaps.
You know,
that's what they need.
Tim Settle was my man when he was here. Tim Settle was a badass. We need Tim Settle.
I mean, is Tim Settle that great, though?
Tim Settle's got 3 sacks this year.
I know, but he's in Houston. I mean, he's fine.
Tim Settle's a good freaking player. He's bounced around. He's been on 2 different teams.
He's been on 3 different teams.
Washington, the team that drafted
Washington,
him.
Buffalo, and Houston.
And they were idiots and chose not to re-sign him. Okay. You know that was a dumbass decision.
Right.
And he's been in Buffalo the past 2 years.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Playing behind Ed Oliver.
It's not like Tim Settle's a world breaker. Could they use him? Sure.
Yeah, they don't have depth, Chris.
All right, fine. Okay, let's take a timeout because we got a bunch of calls that we got to get to.
Professional depth.
I mean, is Sheldon Day not professional depth, or is he just not good enough depth?
Sheldon Day.
I mean, he's professional, right?
When you
say professional, you don't mean professional NFL players. You mean
I like to have someone that's had a track record.
Okay, fine. Hard to find those guys.
Norrell Pollard being on IR screws them. That was the guy that was in preseason killing it.
Right, but we all know preseason is preseason, right?
Wow.
I mean, Benning Potawai had a good preseason. Why aren't you calling for him?
I would have been. The familiarity.
Okay. Just saying. I mean, there's guys that flashed all over the place in preseason. Just because you flashed in the preseason doesn't mean you're going to do it when it counts for real, right? I'm just saying. Just pointing it out. All right, we got to take a timeout. We will come back. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Shouldn't we play this for tomorrow on a Feel Good Friday? Maybe we could play it again. It's like one of the most wicked laughs of all time. Sheldon Witherspoon points out, good one, you're looking for a Casey Hampton, Vince Wilfork type of guy, or yes. Vita Vea. And he absolutely right. I should have, I'm old school. I bring up Ted Washington. You brought up, Tim Settle. Exactly that type, Sheldon. Exactly that type. Now, they're hard to find. They're really hard to find. Guys that can move, but also demolish people on the inside and not get completely out of their gap. You know who also has weighed in? Longfellow Tidwad. At Longfellow _ Tidwad.
If I need to leave, then let me know. Whoever you... No. Chris, hold on for a second. Whatever one of you bored-ass nitwits out there that decided to make this Longfellow Tidwad page... I hope you support every endeavor I have, because I got some stuff coming up. And if you're going to be trying to troll me and chastise me on the internet, I hope you promote me as well. And whoever you are, I just want to know who you are.
You have it all wrong. Longfellow Tidwad is promoting you. He promotes you on every show. He promotes what you're going to be talking.
Chris,
and like
if,
in this
if,
case,
if,
he's defending you. He's saying
I've been turned on ever since.
he's saying our Grimace fascination, which Doc created, by the way. So blame Doc for it all. This abomination must stop. I'm a media professional working with Mayor McCheese and the Hamburglar. By the way, why is my name on the show title already? I think he meant, why is my name not on the show title?
Properly. You're trying
and
to
then
be-
he said, don't I look good, by the way, dropping LBs for the ladies? I mean, this is somebody who knows you very well.
Woo!
Who knows how you tick. Who knows how you speak.
You think it's CK?
Maybe.
CK, if this is... If this is CK,
I will
he's
say
the
this:
best boss if, ever. If it's CK,
if it's CK, I'm gonna throw like I. If it's CK, he's got. I can't make any ridiculous proclamations because I don't make enough money. If it's CK, I'm taking him out to a very, 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 very fancy schmancy dinner.
Woo!
Yeah, this, the veritable Russell Fortune.
This is incredible.
I mean, this Twitter account, if you're not following it, @Longfellow_TWAT has clearly replaced the fake Chris Russell Twitter account, which used to dominate, is just tremendous. Whoever's running this, whoever's doing it, is hilarious. And by the way, Matt and I both proved yesterday, right? We both proved via our phones that we are not running it, that we are not in control of @Longfellow_TWAT. All right, let's get to the phones right here, because the Commanders, you know, listen, they need all sorts of things. We know they need corner help. We know they need edge pass rushing help. But now, because of Jonathan Allen, and because, and you mentioned Dorrance Armstrong is back at practice. We'll see if that means he'll play. It's a good indication that he'll play. He's probably limited today. They need help in one, two, three. Could you make an argument? They might need help in four different areas on their defense, right? Edge, interior, linebacker, and corner. Well, is that fair?
I think they have linebacker help on the way.
In Jordan McGee?
In Jordan McGee.
I think Jordan McGee will help them in pass coverage on second and long, third and whatever. But he's a rookie, too. You can't expect him. You okay there, big guy?
My eye is like...
I got eye drops that I might be able to help you out with during the break. All right, why don't we grab a call or two here? Let's go out to Lou, who's been waiting on hold here for a little while. What's up, Lou? How are you?
I'm batting first. You know I'm going to hit a home run.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. Lou? But are you Ricky Henderson or are you not Ricky Henderson? Are you Shohei Ohtani in the playoffs? I shouldn't say that because then Ohtani's going to wake up. Who are you?
I'm Mookie Betts, man.
You Mookie. Okay, Mook. What up, Mook?
Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I'm not one of those big, you know, baseball players. So, well, forget this whole topic. But on a serious note, I think you guys know, man. I think the fact that we don't have a dominant D-line and that demand a double team, so that way at least, you know, I could kind of take it easy on your boy, St. Jug. I mean, whatever his name is.
Yo, what's called St. Jug?
St. Juice.
Come on, bro.
He thought he was yeah, jugging.
At least I want to give him a break, but the guy, he keeps running his mouth and say, I'm going to hold these players. Like, you can't play like that, dude. I don't know why they're not coaching him. Like, all he had to do, like, to be honest, if you watch some of the games that he get beat, if he just turned for a second, because some of these players, like some of these corners, they smart. They pick off players. So what they do, they turn around. But he don't even turn around, man.
Yeah, but that wasn't the problem on Sunday.
You all just want to find somebody to pick.
No,
at,
I'm just saying you guys defending the guy like he's one of the best in the last four or five.
I'm defending
like
you. No, Lou. I defend Benjamin St. Juice because there is this narrative out there that it's his fault. He's the reason why we gave up all the yards we gave up. We can't generate a pass rush to save our life defensively, and it puts all of our defensive backs on an island. You know how hard it is to cover a guy one-on-one for 7-8 seconds at a time?
I think the pass rush has been okay at times.
I don't know, Chris.
It hasn't been good enough.
Chris, the
it's
pass
been
rush
okay
Sunday was putrid.
It's been okay at times.
Chris, don't say it. Dante Fowler
gets a sack. He got...
And you tell us the pass rush is decent. Like
pass rush ain't decent. I don't know what the hell Chris is watching.
I said it's been okay at times. Listen.
Look.
They got 7 sacks in one game against the Cleveland Browns. That was it. Like that.
That's because Deshaun Watson is amazing.
So that's the only thing they've done. That's the only thing they've done.
Pass rush on Kyler. Yeah, they made him hold the ball. They couldn't get to Daniel Jones consistently.
Right. I'm not saying it's been good. I'm not saying it's been good enough. Okay at times. Same thing is pretty decent. You guys all twist my words.
Well, the only reason I went there is because Lou is talking about Benjamin St. Juice, and I'm not – to sit here and
Lou has moved from hating Ron Rivera to hating Benjamin St. Juice.
Chris. That's not what I call it.
Lou, you got a one track mind, baby. I know. I've known you for years.
No. But the fact that he comes on the post game and say I'm a holder player, like that's not how you cannot tell me he. I don't know if they. His coaches listen to that comment. Like,
no, they don't care. He's just telling JP Finley that.
What you supposed to say? You supposed to say, look, man, I got to beat, and then I got to play better. I got to do a better this and a better that instead of saying, oh, I mean,
you don't think he takes accountability, Lou?
What was that?
You don't think he takes enough accountability is what I'm gathering.
Give
him a break, though, like, man. Benjamin St. Juice is a lot better than you all give him credit for, man.
But he looked good on that 25. He tall, 6'2", 6'3", but he doesn't aura, play right? like it.
He did not have a good enough game on Sunday. I think we can all agree on that. I don't disagree with those two defensive pass. I think they were understandable calls, if not good calls. Fine, whatever. He got beaten coverage a couple times. He missed a tackle late on the Derrick Henry 27-yard run. He did not have a great game by any stretch. But as I tell you all the time, Benjamin St. Juice is capable of having some tremendous games. He's a little but he was a third-round pick. He was a third-round pick. We have to keep in mind that he was not Emmanuel Forbes. You want to beat up on somebody? Beat up on Emmanuel Forbes. Keep beating up on Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio and Martin Mayhew, who thought Emmanuel Forbes was better than Christian Gonzalez, was better than half the draft.
Well, I'll tell you, we haven't wasted time on this show talking about Emmanuel Forbes. Emmanuel Forbes should be embarrassed.
I'm just trying to say one thing about this 25 dude. Like, all I'm saying is, like, I mean, just play. I mean, look at some of the DBs in the league, man. Just turn around, man.
What do you want?
Just turn around. And Lou always says the same thing. He doesn't turn around.
I appreciate you, Lou. He does have to turn around. I watch so many cornerbacks that don't turn around. I can't tell you how many passes into the back corner of the end zone I see, and the defensive back has no idea where the ball is. Doesn't even put his arms up, which is what they teach you. Hey, man, you can't turn around and fight for the football. Read the damn receiver's hands and eyes and put your arm up at the time of the ball's arrival. And they don't even do that. There's so many bad corners in a pass-happy league. There's so many bad corners. It's not just Benjamin St. Juice.
Yeah.
301-230-0980. Quick trending alert, then more. Are the Commanders, for sure, right now, today, in your eyes, a playoff team? We'll tackle that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, let's start with the puck. The Dallas Stars are 4-0-0. They are at Capital One Arena tonight to take on the Washington Capitals off the 4-2 win over the Vegas Golden Knights. The Stars come in rolling, not only with their undefeated record, but also just having signed franchise goaltender today, Jake Oettinger, to an 8-year, $66 million contract extension in the midst of his fifth season, and obviously off to a good start. You could see the Dallas Stars and the Washington Capitals tonight at Capital One Arena. You can hear them right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, beginning at 6:45. John Walton, Ken Sabourin, and company on the call right here again on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. That's because Virginia Tech Hokies football is on 106.7 The Fan. The Hokes hosting Bill O'Brien and Boston College down in Blacksburg on a Thursday night. Should be an electric atmosphere down in Southwest Virginia. Meanwhile, the baseball playoffs, two games today after the Dodgers pummeled the Mets last night. The same two go at it in Game 4. The NLCS, same time, 8:08. About 3 hours before that, at 5:08, it's the Yankees looking for a 3-0 lead in Cleveland over the Guardians, and that's what's trending. All right, we've got to do the show. The boss man, CK, just ran into him in the kitchen.
Yeah, look.
I asked him.
He says he's not responsible for the account.
I didn't think he was because I don't think he's that funny.
Oh, wow. I think he's funny, but I that's why I thought he was responsible. I mean, this is here we go. This is twice in 2 weeks we've got him on the air. Something's doing right.
I mean, listen, we can only talk about gap placement so much.
Yeah. I got enough trouble keeping you level-headed as it is. Why would I ever do anything to get you all worked up about something?
That's true.
Come okay. on.
If that's your reasoning, that's good logic.
I got to deal with this guy and his 11:30 p.m. social media posts with terrible pictures about play-by-play from the games four days ago.
Listen, I am an absolute poop show. I'll grant it. But CK texted me at 11:25 last night. Stop tweeting pictures. Stop tweeting about a game from 3 days ago. And granted, I have the worst technology and the worst lighting. I have the worst setup.
We would call that
if I made Linnell money, I would be able to invest in some of that. I don't know.
He's doing game analysis of a game where they were wearing leather helmets, basically. It was so long ago. what are we doing here?
We're on to Carolina, Chris.
That's what CK said. And I said, we're in Carolina in our mind.
Read my tweet, Linnell. Or my text.
The text said, it's Wednesday night at 11:26. Go to sleep, period.
Yeah.
You don't need to tweet game tape analysis 3 days after the game, exclamation point. Smarter, harder.
Yeah,
social media school night classes are closed. And Chris responds and says, fair point. Give the future Mrs. Roosters some attention. And then it's on to Carolina.
Yeah, here's the thing.
That's why he wanted me to read it.
No.
So you can yell at him for reading it.
You guys have me all wrong.
You're flustered, aren't you?
No, I'm a professional. I'm a professional. I'm trying to do my job. I'm trying to learn. I mean, I don't know how Craig Hoffman watches every WNBA game, every NWSL game, and breaks down the film by noon on Mondays. I have no idea how this happens. I have no idea how this happens.
This is what I'm trying to tell you. Us younger analysts are able to devote more time to the craft.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I say. Whenever you're ready, I'm here.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm still an old bastard trying to do his job.
You should have seen him fall out of the chair earlier today.
Yeah. Did you see the picture he tweeted?
No.
I got to show it. No. Of the game he was watching. Of the Commanders
probably,
game.
The screen was probably cracked.
All right. CK, we got to do the show. I love you, but we got to do the show.
All right. Fine. Do the show. You can do the show.
He's not a distraction. He just wants to show me the picture.
I want him at it. I don't want
anyone supposed to see from this, Chris.
I don't want any more incriminating.
I'm literally trying to put my hand over the phone like there's a damn sunlight in here.
I don't know how else to do it. I'm telling you, Chris. I've got issues. I try and do screen grabs, and it doesn't turn out. Chris, it's got every tab open.
In all actuality, what are you trying to show here?
What? Which picture is that?
What are you showing?
I'm trying to show the creative exotic formation that they ran.
Chris, all 11 guys in the frame.
It doesn't matter. I'm trying to show the backfield and how they had one guy going one way and another guy going another way.
Oh, well, here's the full tweet. Here's the freeze frame look.
Does that make it any better? Not really.
One of Jeremy McNichol's two rushers. We should be doing this. One of Jeremy McNichol's two rushing attempts was a super creative design by Cliff Kingsbury. Love it. Didn't exactly go for the big yardage stuff. Okay, and then you tried to show it.
No one has ever been worse at social media than Chris Russell. I'm sorry.
And you have so many followers. Jaden.
Have a good show.
Yeah. I mean,
thanks, CK.
Wow.
Thanks, CK. I'll talk to you in your office after the show, okay?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, how many other people can sabotage this show? You already do it.
I mean, hey, he cuts the checks. He can sabotage the show all the hell he wants.
That is true. It is his show. Hey, talking
about
some,
if you made Linnell money, I'm about to start a GoFundMe. That's what I'm about to do. Fund my next apartment.
All right, let's get to this. On a serious note, right? So you asked me this yesterday, and I was kind of surprised that you brought it up, but I wanted to kind of pitch it forward to the audience, right? Six games in, they're 4-2. Everybody thinks they're for real. Everybody understands that their defense is far behind their offense, so on and so forth. We just talked about their defense for an hour and a half, right? So the question becomes, a lot of people now, with the dysfunction of the Dallas Cowboys, to a large degree, the dysfunction of the Philadelphia Eagles, the flaws that those two individual rosters have, and even though the Giants are a try-hard group, they're just not good enough. I don't think.
Well, Jason Lockenfora last night told me he thinks Washington and New York are the best two teams in the division.
Okay, well, that's an interesting spin on it. I don't know if I would say that, but I guess the point is at a 4-2 start with what we all identify as the quarterback of the future and the now, and we talked yesterday whether Jaden Daniels is the number one quarterback in the NFL right here, right now, and you know, I don't know how many people took that seriously, but it actually was a legitimate discussion, and I think you could make an argument just based on right here, right now. All of that being said, The Commanders are being viewed at 6 weeks in, at 4-2, almost a shoo-in, right? To win the NFC East, to make the playoffs, well, hold to on, take Chris, the big because next
we are,
step.
Because we have the nuanced show that we are, there are some numbers, Chris, that suggest, yeah, they should
right.
be considered.
A lot of the analytics. And,
a shoo-in.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years, teams that have started 4-2 have a 70% chance of making the playoffs and more than a 50% chance.
Teams that start 4-2.
Yes.
Okay.
Over the last 5 years. This is VR pal JP Finley. In the last 5 years, teams that start 4-2 have a 70% chance of making the postseason and more than a 50% chance of getting to the divisional round. So the numbers are on Washington's side. And this pains me because this is the same guy that picked them to win 9-10 games. I think they can get to 9-10 game, 9-10 wins still. I just don't know if that is going to get them in the postseason. That's my question. Because right. I don't think Philadelphia is as bad. They had too much talent over there.
All right, so I'm going to give you something just that I pulled up from ESPN, right? I mean, we all know ESPN has ESPN analytics or whatever the hell they call it. I mean, it's just, you know, again, information, you do whatever you want. But they do a weekly projecting the NFC playoff field, projecting this, projecting that. The Vikings and the Lions both have 86% chance odds to make the postseason, right? The Vikings and the Lions. I think everybody would think that
those would be a wild card.
Exactly. The Bears right now, next week's opponent, 42%. The Packers are 66%, right? The Saints had the best chances after week two. Remember, they were demolishing people at 31%. Now they're all the way down to 15%. So this can change really rapidly, really quickly. The Dallas Cowboys are at 33% with a 3-3 start. You know what the Commanders are?
Tell me.
The Commanders right now are at 64% to make the playoffs. So basically a 2-3 shot of making the playoffs. To win the division, though, it's interesting, right? Because, again, that's the easiest way to make the playoffs and certainly to get a home game is by winning your division. They go from 64% to make the playoffs, because there's three wild cards, to 45%. So almost half, but 45% chance of winning the NFC East. I would say if, like, that's what the ESPN analytics say, right? I would probably say if you walked up to 100 random sample Commanders fans, that they would probably, my guess would be, after 6 weeks and Jaden Arama, they would probably say somewhere in the neighborhood of 85 to 90% chance that they make the playoffs. I think that's how sky high people are. Now, maybe it's a little bit less after the Baltimore game, a little bit less, but I don't think it would be only two-thirds of people and therefore 64% of, you know, again, if you ran into 100 random, as the junkies call them, donks with Commanders jerseys on the street, right? And just went up to them and say, hey, man, what percentage chance do you give the Commanders of making the playoffs? I would probably say they would almost all be 80% plus. I would say 85 to 90% would probably be the most likely answer. I don't have any statistical proof. I don't have anything other than gut feel about but Chris, that. But the analytics crunching all the different schedule and variables and whatnot, and other teams are saying 64%. Is that light in your eyes?
I think it's 64 is probably like, I actually agree spot on with the analytics. I think 64% is what the chance that I would give them as well. And I'm the same guy that said they'd win 9-10 games before Jaden Mania started, or Jaden Arama, whatever the hell you want to call it. I just look at the remaining schedule.
I think Jaden Mania is probably better than Jaden Arama.
Yeah, because Arama has this negative connotation to it. But I just
like pretty decent has a negative connotation to it.
I look at the upcoming schedule. Carolina, I mark that as a W. Chicago to me is kind of like a coin flip game, if I'm being honest. Like I can for damn sure see us losing to the Bears. We don't match up well with Chicago, if we're being frank, right? Now they do have a weaker offensive line. So we may be able to get after Caleb, but I don't see that being the case.
But Caleb loves to extend plays,
Washington every game this week, this year rather.
And you might be, I sense you're already picking against the Bears.
I may be tempted to pick Chicago.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's the good matchup for us. The Giants game the week following, the week afterwards, is, you shouldn't have beat them the first time, if we're being real. Like, if they had Graham Gano.
Yeah.
We lose.
They would have lost. They would have been 0-2.
Neighbors catches the football.
Yeah.
You lose. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they beat New York. So going into Pittsburgh, you would be what,
6-2? You would say 2 out of 3. At 2 out of the next 3 is what you feel comfortable with.
I think
with.
They can get 2 out of the next 3, which puts them at what?
6-3? 6-3, yeah.
6-3 going into Pittsburgh at home.
Right.
If Russell Wilson's the starter, I think we win. Yeah. If Justin Fields is the starter, it's a tough one.
Well, it's a 48-3 loss.
I mean, it's just
Justin Fields is just the greatest quarterback alive on planet Earth.
It's tougher because of
every analyst in the world, including everyone that automatically thinks Russell Wilson's the starter this week.
Well, I think Mike Tomlin's playing mind games with Jeff Ulbrich, who can't focus on just the defense because he's got to babysit the rest of the team now that Woody Johnson fired the coach.
Yeah, I think Mike Tomlin is effing with everyone.
Yeah.
I think Justin Fields is starting that game, as I told you yesterday.
Yeah. Justin Fields actually had a really responsible response.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll touch on that later.
I think they can get 2 out of the next 3, putting them at 6-3 heading into Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they get Pittsburgh. And this is where the schedule makers, as you would complain about and crow about, the schedule makers boned Washington. Facing Pittsburgh at home and then traveling to Philly on a short week, they're going to be black and blue heading into that game.
Yeah, imagine that.
That's the way I look at
that. I mean, imagine how the schedule, which is only going to get more chaotic because they're going to be flexed into every possible primetime window.
And guess what? Playing at 4 o'clock gives you less recovery time.
Of course.
People,
so. but they're going to be flexed into Thursday night windows and Monday night football windows and every window in between because the NFL wants Jaden Daniels on primetime television as much as humanly possible.
Yeah.
There is going to be, you want a negative connotation, there's going to be short week Arama from now until the time that Jaden Daniels retires.
Well, looking at the rest of the schedule, maybe that Cowboys game, depending on their record, gets flexed.
Yeah,
but other than that, I don't see what else gets flexed.
Well, I mean, the Saints struggling here certainly hurts, but that was one potential. I mean, I don't think the Steelers game at this point is going to be flexed. I think it's too late in the window, but I could be wrong. I know JP had all the rules up the other day. Either way, we're not necessarily talking about primetime windows. We're talking about the Commanders, to me, again, when you just use, again, it's just one set of data, the ESPN analytics, 64% to make the playoffs, 45% to win the division. I would say they have a better chance of winning the division than they have of making just the general NFC playoff field.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because even though you have 7 opportunities, you really only have 3 opportunities, not 7, to win, to make the NFC playoff picture if you're not going to win the division. Because there's going to be 4 division winners, right? And obviously, if you're not one of the division winners, therefore securing one of the 4 top playoff spots, you only have 1 in 3 cracks, right? You have 1 in 3 chances if you don't win the division. So to me, I think it's easier to win the division this year. Okay, with Philadelphia's issues, with the Giants' issues, with the Cowboys' issues, I think it's easier to win the division than it might be just to crack the playoff field against seeds 5, 6, and 7. What do you guys think? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Are the Commanders for sure, in your eyes, a playoff team right here, right now, through 6 weeks? Or do you still need more to see? And we're just talking about a difficult stretch in the schedule. Maybe not this Sunday, but the next two of the next 4 Sundays, certainly going to be very, very interesting from an offense versus defensive perspective on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Now, sometimes this place is an insane asylum. 256 on the Team 980. One more hour to go. I see you all lining up on the phones. Are the Commanders a shoe-in at this point for the playoffs, right? 6 weeks in, 4-2 record. Again, Carolina, a very winnable game, even though not as easy as I think most people are predicting. Certainly not the idiots in Vegas with their stupid line score. What's wrong?
The hell did you guys do to my computer?
What did I do? I didn't do anything. I didn't move. The last time I moved is when I played Humpty Dumpty.
What are you talking about?
You are a grade A ass clown. I mean, I there's no other way.
What are you talking about? What happened?
Yeah, Matt, you are a bastard. I'm like,
I don't even know what you're referring to. Oh, that. See, Doc would be proud. If Doc's listening, even though we've taken a couple of gratuitous chair shots to his back. right? Doc's probably howling at the moon over the last 2 days because he just loves, he loves messing with you. He loves messing with you. See, CK is all scared about us messing with you. I'm not scared. I'm not scared of a thing. I could take on Linnell. I'll take the cheap, I'll take the shot to the lower lumbar area, the medulla oblongata area. Oh, gorilla monsoon.
I have to figure
out
how I can. Oh, yeah, I guess I haven't told what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I come back from my bathroom break. I'm one of the few, you know, tenants here.
One of the few that go to the bathroom?
One of the few employees that know how to use the bathroom and have it all make it into the toilet.
No.
So I flushed, washed my hands, and I come back.
At least you washed your hands.
That was just the perfect amount of time for Matt to turn off my computer, which I thought when I came back in, that's why I'm like, what the hell's up? My screen's black. All my numbers went away. And Grimace is now the background on this computer.
Wait, you mean Grimace like this guy over here? Or the guy on the wall next to you? Like what's going on?
That's okay, because we got Friday night overtime tomorrow night.
Yeah. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to make you like an honorary member of the New York Mets, a winner. That's what we're trying to do. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We might let Paulie back on the show today. He knows all about winners.
Why did y'all? Hold on. What do you mean let Paulie back? Paulie is a part of the damn show.
Paulie was pretty mean to me and Jay Gruden the other day, so he had to get punished.
See, Paulie, that's my fault, man. That would never happen on the day that I'm here. You kidding me? What do you mean y'all banned Paulie from the show?
You have no power. You better watch out before we ban you from the show.
God. Mike. I almost call you Mike because I always talk about my mic getting cut off.
301-230-0980. Are the Commanders a guaranteed lock in your eyes to make the playoffs right now at 4-2? Again, ESPN Analytics has them at 64% to make the playoffs, 45% to win the division. I think they have a better shot of winning the NFC East than just in general of making the playoffs and the general playoff field. What say you? 301-230-0980 on the team.980 and the Odyssey app.